come this morning to Genesis chapter 46. We're looking at these first 27 verses. We're thinking this morning of reassurance for the next step. Reassurance for the next step. Genesis 46 begins the third journey down to Egypt. Already we've seen Joseph's brothers go down to Egypt to get grain and bring it back home again. And then they've returned to Egypt. And on that second journey, Joseph reveals who he is. The great Zaphnath-Paneah, the governor of all Egypt, is their brother. And the brothers are restored. They go back to Canaan and tell their father Jacob, Joseph is alive. We are all to go down to Egypt. And so we come to the third journey. This third journey, however, is going to be different. This time, none of the brothers will ever set foot in Canaan again. Their father Jacob is going to be leaving the promised land, and he will not see it again. After chapter 46 of Genesis, it's going to be over 400 years before anyone from this family line will set foot back in the promised land. Jacob begins his journey south to Egypt, and he's leaving with everything he has. And then he stops at Beersheba. This is the place where his father Isaac had made his camp in the land of Canaan. Beersheba was on the southern edge of Canaan, the promised land. And after you leave Beersheba, it's mostly all wilderness. There's no fertile land until you come to Egypt. Beersheba, in many ways, is the last post. One more step south, and Jacob will be out of the promised land. In the movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, from the Lord of the Rings series of movies, Samwise Gamgee, one of the heroes in the movie, is going to be leaving his homeland, the Shire, with his friend Frodo Baggins. They're going on a journey that is going to be dangerous, a journey that is going to change their lives. They come to the edge of the Shire, and in the movie, Sam turns to his friend Frodo and he says, if I take one more step, it'll be the furthest away from home I've ever been. Jacob is about to take one more step. A step away from home. A step away from the promised land. One more step that will have consequences. One more step that is often a big step. And this is an important moment in the history of Israel. And Jacob must have lots of thoughts as he was standing there in Beersheba at the edge of the promised land. Is it really God's plan that I take one more step? Is this really in the purposes of God that I go down to Egypt? Does this fit in with God's promises, this step that I'm about to take? What about my family? What about the promised people of God? How will this step affect them? Jacob needs reassurance for the next step. Often we have big decisions to make. We have choices in life. Sometimes they are big steps. For our young people, what school to go to? What subjects to choose? Should I stay on in education? Or should I be learning a trade and find work? Whom should I marry? What job should I take? Where should I live? We have big, life-defining choices. And sometimes it can feel as though we are standing at the edge, and one more step will be further than we have ever been before. We ask ourselves, is it the right step to make? Is this part of God's plan? Does this fit in with God's promises? What will happen to me and those around me? And we need reassurance as we walk with Christ. We need reassurance as we look to take the next step. And here in Genesis 46, we have reassurance. Because we see, firstly, that God sticks to his plan. God sticks to his plan. All the circumstances in Jacob's life, they appear to be pointing to Egypt. Egypt is the right place to be. The famine in Canaan has been severe. There's no grain, no food. And to get grain, you have to travel all the way down to Egypt, which is a dangerous journey. So not only is there food in Egypt, but in God's providence, it's Joseph who's in charge. Jacob's beloved son oversees the land. And he's told his father and his brothers to come down to Egypt. And Pharaoh himself has given the command that this whole family should come to Egypt. So there's an invitation. All the circumstances seem to be pointing to Egypt. Go to Egypt. There will be safety and protection. The circumstances are pointing to Egypt. But Jacob has two main concerns in his head. He knows the history of his family, and he knows God's promises. Jacob knows his family's history. His grandfather Abraham lived through a famine. What did Abraham do? Abraham took it upon himself to go down to Egypt. But it was a disaster. Abraham put his own life in danger. But more than that, he put the life of his wife Sarah in danger down in Egypt. Abraham's decision to go to Egypt was the wrong decision. It was against what God was telling Abraham to do. His grandfather went down to Egypt and it was a disaster. Not only that, he knows about his father, Isaac. Again, when famine came, Isaac had a decision to make. And God spoke to Isaac, and God said to Jacob's father, Isaac, do not go down to Egypt. And Isaac didn't. Jacob knows his family's history. Egypt may not be the wise choice that it looks like. And Jacob also knows God's promises. The land that he's in, Canaan, this land is the promised land. This is the land promised to his grandfather Abraham, his father Isaac. This is the place of promise. And so, is it right that God should ask him to leave now? Jacob knows that this journey to Egypt is going to be his last journey. He's an old man. is about 130 years old. 120 to 130 years old. This is his last journey. And it's going to be one out of the promised land. Is this God's plan? Although the circumstances seem to point to Egypt, it doesn't sit easy with Jacob. And so Jacob needs reassurance. And the question that he must ask is, what is God's plan? And so Jacob does the only thing that he can do. What is it that Jacob does? Look at verse 1. He comes to God. Jacob does the right thing. He comes into God's presence in a sacrifice. He comes seeking God's wisdom and guidance. He comes in prayer. And then God speaks to Jacob. And God reveals his plan to Jacob. God says, go down to Egypt. Go down to Egypt. Take that step. This plan of God seems so surprising. It appears to go against everything so far. It seems as if it's a diversion from God's plan to have his people in the promised land. But in God's sovereign overruling, in God's control of the circumstances, this is the plan that God has chosen to bring about his promises. And Jacob does the right thing. He seeks confirmation. And he receives confirmation from God. Go down to Egypt. This is what we should do. We should go to God. Now we can look back on this event in the life of Jacob. And we have the benefit of the history of redemption to see God's plan. We have what Jacob didn't have. We have the history of redemption unfolded for us. And we know what God is going to do. We know that God is going to bring his promised people down to Egypt. And there they are going to grow and multiply and flourish and become a great nation. And we know that God is going to bring them back up again in the Exodus and bring them into the promised land. And we know that from this family, God is going to bring the Savior, Jesus Christ. We know God's plan as we look back in Scripture. We know that every experience this family has is going to be reflected in the life of Christ Jesus. We can see God's big picture. But it's hard for us when, like Jacob, we want to look forward. God, what is your plan for me in Jesus Christ? Where should I set my foot tomorrow, next year, 5 years' time? Lord, should I be taking this step? Should I be going this direction? And like Jacob, we can sometimes find ourselves caught between circumstances and situations that appear confusing and what we think God wants us to do. And we can sometimes say, why are the circumstances happening this way? Why is this happening to me? Lord, this doesn't seem to make sense to me. And then we have decisions to make in the midst of difficult circumstances, and we're not sure what is going to be best for us spiritually. And so, like Jacob, we need reassurance. Lord, what is your plan? In those situations, like Jacob, we're to come before God. We're to seek God's face. We pray. God revealed his will to Jacob in a dream, in a night vision. But we don't have to wait for dreams or night visions. In fact, if you are waiting for dreams and night visions for God to reveal to you what to do, you're going to be disappointed. Or you're going to end up very confused. But God has revealed his will to us. God has revealed his plan for our lives. And it's here, within God's word. And here God tells us the life that he wants us to live. The steps that he wants us to take. He wants us to grow in Christ-likeness. This is what he commands us to do. This is his plan. These are the steps that we should be taking to become more like Christ. And so when we come to those difficult decisions, we can ask ourselves, will this help me to become more like Christ? If it does, then perhaps God is leading you that way. If it won't help you become more like Christ, then that is not the way that God wants you to go. God says to us in his word that he wants us to use our gifts and abilities. That's part of his plan for our lives. If I was deciding today what I should study at university, I would not be choosing maths. That would be foolish. It would be absurd. I'd have no gifts or abilities with numbers. They confuse me. I'm scared of them. It's not where my gifts lie. Does God want me to become a maths teacher? No, I don't have those gifts and abilities. We are to use our gifts and abilities that God has given to us. God's plan for us is to witness to the great grace that he's poured out in our lives in Christ. The decision that I have to make. What should I do? Where should I go? What step should I take? Will it enable me to witness for Christ? To grow in Christ? To use my gifts and abilities to encourage Christ's people? That's God's plan. They are the steps that we take. He calls on us to be salt and light. Perhaps that is right now where God has you placed. Perhaps that is the best place now today. Well, that is the best place now today for you to be, where God has you placed. Also know that God will open and shut doors. We can step forward in life's circumstances. We can be confident that God has a plan, as unexpected as that plan can be, and then be confident that God will fulfill it. If it's not for you, God will close that door. God may open another door. For Jacob standing there in Beersheba, the edge of the promised land, the question was, what is God's plan? God revealed it, said, go to Egypt. The circumstances are pointing there. And my word to you is saying that you're to go to Egypt. We come to God. We pray. We ask him to reassure us, to confirm to us in his word. At times God gives us a lot of freedom in our choices. And that's a good thing. But know that God does have a plan. And God will stick to his plan. Even though at times it might seem as though we've diverted. Times maybe we feel we're off course. Know that God will stick to his plan. As unexpected as it can be. And God is saving a people for himself. God's plan is to make us more like Christ, to bring glory to His name. What if you're not a believer here this morning? What is God's plan for you? Well, Scripture tells us that God's plan for the wicked is to punish them eternally in hell forever. God has a plan. God sticks to His plan. But in Christ Jesus, God has a plan to save. In Christ Jesus, God has a plan to save a people for Himself. And perhaps this morning, the step that you need to be taking is that step before God the Father, confessing your sin, repenting of your sin, and putting your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. God sticks to His plan, and that's great reassurance for the believer. Then secondly, and more briefly, God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises. This is the first time that we have a direct quote from God since chapter 35. The last time that God spoke to Jacob, it was to give him a new name. And it was to confirm His promises to him. Promises that He had already made to Abraham and Isaac. And what is it that God does now? Well, He confirms His promises to Jacob. That's what God is doing. He's saying, I have the promises, and the promises are still for you. I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid. And look at the promises in verse 3 and 4. I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt. I will bring you up again. And then a very pastoral promise directed to Jacob himself. Joseph's hand will close your eyes. These are the great promises that God has made to His people. The promise of land. I will bring you up again. The promise of a great family. I will make you into a great nation. The promise of God's presence. I myself will go down with you. The covenant God is reminding Jacob of the promises that He has made. And God says, along with my plan, my promises are here to reassure you. My promises will come about. I will keep them. Nothing can make me break my promises. This is the reassurance that Jacob needs as he takes the next step. He knows he isn't going to set foot again in the promised land. But God promises that this family as a nation will return. And Jacob's bones will be gathered up. And they will be returned to the land of promise. God reminds Jacob of His promises. What happens when God says, I have a plan, I'm sticking to it, this is my will, you go to Egypt, and here are my promises? What does Jacob do next? Does he stay in Beersheba? Does he wait? Does he hum and ha about the decision that he has to make? Does he maybe flip a coin? Verse 5. Then Jacob set out. God, your promises to me. This plan that you stick to, I'm going to obey. And Jacob, with his limp that he has had ever since encountering God and wrestling with Him, this old man puts one foot in front of the other, and he steps towards Egypt. Every step for Jacob is a step with God. God's promises have reassured him. Just as we are reassured that God has a plan and won't deviate from it. He has a plan for us. So we are reassured by his promises. His promise that he will keep us. And friends, his promises are to fill our minds. Think of the promises that we have in Christ. God promises that he will not leave us or forsake us. That decision that you have to make. As you make it, looking to God and looking to his plan, entrusting yourselves that this step is the step that God wants you to take, God's promises go with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. God's promise that we are forgiven in Christ. God's promise that we are his sons and daughters through Christ. God's promise that we are heirs of the new heaven and the new earth. This next step I take, it won't take me away from the promised land. Because God has promised that the new heavens and the new earth are for all of his children in Christ Jesus. We are kept and we are reassured by the promises of God. And every step that we take, the decisions that we have to make, we are walking with Christ and in the promises of Christ as we are being obedient to the Word of God. Circumstances might seem so difficult. But if God is directing us that way, and if it isn't going against his word, but it's going to be for our spiritual benefit, it's going to be so that we can become more like Christ, so we can encourage Christ's people, then that's the step that we should take. And God promises us, I will be with you. We are reassured. God keeps his promises. God sticks to his plan. God keeps his promises. And then thirdly and finally, and again briefly, God saves his people. God saves his people. Verse 5 to verse 27. It gives us the details of the family members who went down to Egypt. This list really marks the end of this section in Genesis. When we have a list of names, it's normally a change in emphasis is coming, or it's marking the end or the beginning of a new section, or it's a momentous event. And this is marking a change. It's marking the end of something and the beginning of something else. This is a momentous event. It's marking Israel's time in Egypt. And to show us the importance of that, we have this census. We're told that there were 70 in total who went down to Egypt. This number is given to show us that it is all of Jacob's family. There's some debate or not whether it was 70 people. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen's sermon, Stephen says 75 people went down to Egypt. Is that a mistake? Is it an error? Well, no. We have to understand that the purpose, or what the purpose of numbers is and lists. The number 70, it represents totality. It represents wholeness. In the list of names given, if we count them up, we only come to 66. Also in this list, we don't have the names of Jacob's other daughters or his other granddaughters. We only have Dinah and Sarah mentioned. But yet it says that there were more of them. We also have Er and Onan listed, yet they died in the land of Canaan. We have 10 sons of Benjamin listed. Benjamin was in his early 20s. It's possible that he had 10 sons at this stage. But it's more than likely that many of these sons were born in Egypt. So why are we given 70? Well, it's that number of wholeness. It's that totality. We are being told here that the whole family, God's chosen family, all of them went down to Egypt. Not one of them was missing. Now, there are several reasons why Stephen could use the number 75 in Acts. He could be including the sons of Manasseh and Ephraim, grandsons of Jacob, because other grandsons are listed. And they would have had a share in the inheritance. We don't know exactly. We don't need to know. But what we do know, and what we can be assured of, is that the whole family was there. The whole family was in the plan of God. The whole family are under the promises of God. And this small family is going to become the great nation of Israel. And they are all there. Not one of them is missing. And this points us to the great spiritual truth of spiritual Israel. This is our family history for all who are in Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters of this spiritual family in Christ. And friends, we can be reassured that not one of God's spiritual family will be missing. All of God's family will be gathered together. Out of this list, not one of them would see the promised physical land again. Not one of them would set foot in it. Not even their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren or their great-great-great-great-grandchildren. They would all die in Egypt. But from this family, God is raising the promised seed, Jesus Christ. And from this family, the Messiah would come. And in Christ, there is another promised land, the spiritual land that Jacob was looking forward to. It wasn't the physical land, but in faith, they looked beyond the physical land to the spiritual, the new heavens and the new earth. And in faith, Jacob was looking forward. And Jacob, along with the totality of his family, of his spiritual family, we have that land as our inheritance. It's Emmanuel's land. And for all who are in this family, for all who are in Christ's family, we will be there. Not one of Christ's family will be missing. The book of Revelation talks about 70 nations being there. 70 nations. It's the wholeness again. The totality. Not one missing. God is saving a people for himself. And so, friends, tomorrow morning when we get up, we have the reassurance to take that next step. As we trust that God has a plan and a purpose, and as we look to obey him in his word, and as we remind ourselves of the promises that he has for us, we are also reassured that within God's plan, he is saving a people for himself. and we will not be missing. But we will all be there with Christ our Savior. And God sticks to that plan, no matter how much of a detour it might seem to us at times. And God keeps His promises. God won't change them or throw them away. And God is saving His people, His family. This next step, that next decision, friends, we can have great reassurance as we look to Jesus Christ, as we listen to His word, as we trust in His promises, and as we know God is saving a family for Himself. This next step we take. It could be the furthest that you've ever felt away from home. That decision that you have to make that seems so difficult and so challenging. Remind yourself, God has a plan. God sticks to that plan. And as we seek to obey Him, as we seek to live according to His word revealed to us, God also has promises to keep us and uphold us. And remind ourselves we have a great spiritual home in Christ, and not one of His people will be missing. Amen.